And I am excited that you are all here this evening. Here at the Well, we have been spending some time in the beginning of the book of Acts, which basically is the story of the first followers of Jesus. And these events, where we're at now in the story, are taking place after Jesus has died and come back to life. And at this point, he's ascended into heaven, and he has sent the Holy Spirit to indwell his followers and empower them to be his witnesses. So if you've been here the last few weeks, hopefully that's sounding a little bit familiar and you're kind of tracking with the story here. If not, we're only at the beginning of the third chapter, so you can catch up by reading the first two chapters of Acts. All that happens, most of that happens in there. And then you're going to be caught up with us. And then also, if you've missed any, we have the talks online on the Well website, so you can always catch up there as well. So we are studying these accounts in Acts in the hopes that God will teach us how to be his people here on this campus, and in the hopes that he is going to help us figure out how to go about living our day-to-day lives as followers of him. Are we ready? Great. So we're going to be in Acts 3. Feel free to read along in your Bible or the Bible in front of you. It's also going to be on the screen. Technically, tonight is supposed to be called a community of healing, but I'm actually changing that because I can, because I have a microphone. It's a community that restores wholeness. You're going to kind of understand where that's coming from here in a minute. Okay, so let's dive right into Acts 3. One day, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer at 3 in the afternoon. Now a man crippled from birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg from those who were going into the temple courts. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. Peter looked straight at him, as did John. Then Peter said, "Look at us." So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. Then Peter said, "Silver or gold I do not have, but what I have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." Taking him by the right hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet and began to walk. Then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. When all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the same man who used to sit begging at the temple gate called Beautiful, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. Pretty cool. Now, we've seen kind of miraculous healing stories before, but normally they've been kind of directly done by God or Jesus, so this is kind of interesting for us. And there are a few, just a couple things that I want to zoom in on a little bit and talk a little bit more about. The first is the little phrase that said, Peter looked straight at him, as did John. Okay, so we're imagining the scenario, right? There are two kind of normal responses for folks going to the temple who pass a beggar. The first is that maybe you're going to pass right by. There are probably a lot of beggars around, and so there would be kind of this thing that happens where it becomes kind of white noise and you get to be used to it, so you're like, okay, another person, and you don't kind of pay much attention. Or the other normal response would be to toss a few coins to him. He says, thank you, and that's how that goes. But Peter and John stopped and they looked at him, and it makes a point to kind of spell that out for us. So my question for us is, do we stop and look and really see the people who are in need in our day-to-day lives? I am convinced that there are like two hindrances for us, two things at least, that kind of make it really difficult for us to see the people that are in need in our day-to-day lives. The first is being insulated, and the second is being too busy. So we're going to talk a little bit about both of these things. Let's talk first about being insulated. So our culture teaches us to live in our own little bubble. Behavioral scientists have found that the accepted amount of personal space for most Americans is 2 to 4 feet. I mean, 4 feet, that's a good amount of distance between you and another person. And we're not just talking, right, about the air between people. It's an emotional thing we do, too, where we live in our own bubbles. And, you know, we will ask you how you're doing, but not really how you're doing. We kind of keep it at small talk level a lot of the time. So it's easy for that to kind of be the normative experience for us and to kind of live our lives that way. Choosing to show compassion, to really see someone who has a need, is an act of courage. It just is. And it's not always the easiest choice for us to make in the moment. We'll come back to that. But another hurdle for really seeing people and their needs in our lives is being too busy. I know this is not an issue for anyone here, right? I was super busy in college. Everybody's busy, right? Natalie Ritz wrote this incredible blog. She wrote a blog for The Well. Do you guys know that we have these? Is this something we're aware of? Thanks for raising your hand. we have these blogs, and they're awesome, and they're raw, and they're honest, and they're hopeful, and they're written by people who are sitting around you. So if you haven't seen them, like The Well on Facebook or whatever, so you can, or go to the website and read what your friends have to say about what their journey with God is like. But Natalie wrote this blog, and it was called I'll Just Sleep When I'm Dead, right? And it was basically about if you're sleep-deprived and you're always running from one thing to the next all the time, it's hard to access all of the, you know, hope and joy and rest and peace that God has for us. This is what she says. This is a quote from her blog. If I'm tired all the time, how can I really be living the life that God has for me? If I'm tired all the time, how can I truly be a compassionate, enthusiastic, attentive person, able to give and receive love? I mean, that's it. She got it. I don't know about you, but I spend entirely too much of my time like surviving the to-do list of the day and then collapsing at the end of it, rinse and repeat the next day. And if we are kind of exhausted and in that state physically and emotionally all the time, we're not going to stop for the person who's in need. We're not going to hear them calling out. We're not even going to notice because we're just surviving. So in this account, Peter and John were interruptible. They were interruptible. I'm sure it was important to them to get to the temple for prayer, but they stopped and they looked at him. Not only did they stop, but they made eye contact with him. Peter said, hey, look at me. And they saw his deeper need. Okay, so 9 out of 10 people in this scenario, right, if you were to poll them, if you were standing outside the temple and you were like, hey, what does this guy need? They're going to say money. Like, he's sitting here, he's asking for money, he has no way to provide for himself. That's the obvious answer. If you asked the man what he was asking of Peter and John in that moment, he would have said money. When it says that he looked at them expecting something, he was expecting money. He was not expecting for them to speak in the name of Jesus and have his tendons, like, regrow and his feet heal so that he could stand up for the first time in his life. I don't think he even saw that one coming. Peter and John saw that there was something more. So they didn't see a crippled, they didn't see a beggar who needed money. They saw a child of God who was crippled and needed to walk. Where do you think they learned how to do that? This is my favorite part. No one is better at seeing the deep needs in us than Jesus. This is probably my favorite thing about Jesus. I say that all the time, which makes it less feel a little bit less important, but I have lots of favorites, I guess. This is absolutely one of my favorite things. Let me tell you what I mean by that, I guess. So sometimes I'll be praying and I'll be in a conversation with God and I'll say, God, I really need help with this decision coming up. You know, I have some anxiety about it and I could use some guidance or whatever. And I'll sit and I'll listen, I'll be reading the word and I'll be kind of seeing what he has to say about it. And he'll say, I love you. And I'll say, great. I'm also wondering about this question that I have. So I bring an agenda into my conversation with you, so can we stick to that? And he'll say, I love you. And after a while, right, I will concede. And in that moment, I'll realize that that is actually what I needed. I didn't need an answer. I needed to know that he would love me and that I would have that security regardless of the decisions that I made. As he saw the deeper thing that I needed. Another example, this is completely hypothetical, is that sometimes maybe I pray something like, Lord, I need you to help that person. They are driving me crazy. Their brokenness is frustrating me, and I need you to intervene and bring them healing so that they're not driving me nuts anymore. And he says to me, you have stored up offenses in your heart, and it's grown into hate. Yeah. Hey, cat. So this is what I mean when I say he cuts to the heart of the issue. And we see it all the time in how he interacts with people in Scripture. And it's absolutely my experience. And if you haven't experienced it yet, I pray that you will, because it's amazing. Because you think you know what you need, and then he'll speak, and you're like, oh, gosh, that was it. That's what I needed. And it's interesting because we also see this in Scripture. So in this account that we just talked about, the man asks for money and he walks away healed. In another account, this guy's friends carry him in front of Jesus and ask for Jesus to heal him. And Jesus' response is, your sins are forgiven. Isn't that amazing? So here is kind of another way that this has played out for me. Aaron Wardle, founder of The Well, yes. He is going to be here in 2 weeks, and that's very exciting for us. Go to his concert, because he's really gifted. He was also at one point my boss. He worked here in religious life, and I was an intern. And so we would get together once a week and kind of touch base on projects and things. And he would always start our meetings with prayer. But it was kind of different than maybe you're thinking, because what he would do is he would just sit there, and he would invite the Holy Spirit to be there, and it would just be quiet for sometimes like an awkwardly long period of time. And I'm just sitting there like, okay. But he is just sitting and he's waiting to hear something from the Lord for me. He was asking God for a blessing for me in that moment. So we sit there for a while, and then here it comes, and it always comes in this like nicely wrapped one sentence for him. And so he would say something like, Mallory, I just bless you with the knowledge that you are fully accepted in his presence. Right to the center. And I would just like collapse into a pile of tears and 20 minutes later compose myself and we'd actually be able to talk about work. But I didn't, like there are moments, right, that we don't understand what we need. And maybe this other person doesn't, but Jesus knows and he can tell this person so that they can bless us. So that's what happened. I was a mess every week at the beginning of our meetings. That's why he moved to California. His employees wouldn't stop crying all the time. I'm just gonna give a completely non-related shout out to my best friend Valentina, who also worked for him and never cried in his office. Not true. This practice of listening prayer and listening for what God has is something we practice here at The Well. And it really kind of is that simple. It can be, you know, it takes a little bit of practice sometimes, this whole, like, hearing God and knowing that it's God and testing that we're hearing so we know it's from God. So there's some practice that goes along with this and some kind of guardrails for it. But the Holy Spirit helps us, so anyone can do it. So if we look back at the passage, we've got this person in front of us who needs help. And we have an invitation from God that he'll show us a deeper need in this person as well. I love this line. Silver or gold I do not have, but what I have I give you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk. So what comes next for us, right? Meet the need of the person in the name of Jesus. What's interesting here is it can be hard for us to give something away if we're not entirely sure what it is we have. So last week, Bill was talking, and we were talking about what are some of the things that we proclaim about Jesus and who he is. And we, like, did some brainstorming. We shouted out stuff. We remember this? And I found in myself that some people said a few things, and I said something, and then I kind of stalled. And I was like, wait a minute. I know there are a lot of things that we say about who Jesus is, and I couldn't think. So sometimes it's helpful for us all to sit together and think, what is it that we have in Jesus? What are all the things that he gives us? There's going to be a list up here, and I'm going to read through some of them and talk about just some of the things we have. So we have grace. Do you ever think you run into somebody in your day-to-day life that needs grace? That's a deep need that they might have. Peace of mind, peace of heart. Purpose. Forgiveness. The ability to forgive other people. Hope, you know, for the future and for our situations and where we're at. Truth. Security. Deep soul rest. Rest doesn't cut it for me, you know. I'm like, the deep soul rest. That's what I'm talking about. Unconditional love. Provision. Encouragement. Comfort. Acceptance. Joy. Healing. Reconciliation with God. His living words. We have scripture. That's from God for us. New identity, divine guidance, eternal salvation, wisdom. And this isn't a comprehensive list. This is just kind of the things that I could come up with when I was sitting and thinking for a few minutes. This is what you're carrying around with you every day. This is what you have to give other people. There is so much that he has given us. So I would encourage you to make your own list like this. You can start with this one, or you can kind of personalize it. What are the things that you've experienced that he's given to you and that you have in Jesus? What do you see in Scripture? Because to know all that he offers, you have to be well acquainted with him. There is no other shortcut. It is just that. So you can get to know him through Scripture. You can get to know him through relationship with him. And I just get this image of soaking up all of his goodness like a sponge. So that when you're in front of a person and you see that they have a need, and you start to panic, right? Because you're like, I'm supposed to do something, and I don't know what to do. And so I know I have this choice in front of me in this moment to kind of be like, okay, have a good day, and continue on. Or say, do you want to sit down and talk, or can I pray for you, or whatever. And press into that moment. Just take a deep breath and remember that Jesus is the answer every time. Jesus in some form. So this is us going a step further than being a good friend or an acquaintance. You get to minister to their soul. You get to do that. And I'll tell you what, when God uses us this way, you know, when he puts someone in front of you, and when he gives you something to give them, there's nothing like it. When I think about kind of some of the highlights of my walk with God, these are the moments. Because it is scary sometimes, because you're like, I don't know. But then to have the person say, you know, oh my gosh, that really hit exactly what I needed. And you just handed me Jesus when I needed him. It's just the coolest experience. And he gets the glory that he deserves, right? Because it's God being awesome. We are just, he's just using us. We're fumbling our way through it half the time, but it doesn't matter because it's really awesome. The passage says that when they saw the formerly crippled man walking and jumping and doing cartwheels down through the temple, they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. So we here at the Well, our community, is called to be a people who see the needs in others and see that deeper need, and we're called to be people who meet that need with what Jesus has given us. That's it. This is what we've got. So just a little bit more on what this looks like for us and what it might look like for you personally. This week, I have a challenge for you. I want you to ask God to put someone in your path. I want you to ask him to put someone in your path. and that he would help you, right? Because again, this is kind of scary sometimes and difficult to choose into in the moment, but just ask him for help and he'll help you. And help you see what they really need, and that he would help you be brave so you can step in and meet that need in the name of Jesus Christ. So I'm going to invite the band back up, and I'm going to pray for us. And I'm also going to invite up Dr. An from the religion department is here joining us tonight. Yeah. Yeah, really exciting. So he's going to talk to us a little bit more about what this has looked like in the community of the church in history, how we've prayed for each other in the past, and then how we can practice that here tonight. So let me pray for us. God, thank you for your word, and thank you for these accounts of what it was like to be the first followers of Jesus. And I pray that it would encourage us tonight, and I also pray that you would challenge us tonight to show your love in ways like this. So, Lord, I pray for us tonight that if someone was thinking, okay, what is that deeper need? What would it be like for Jesus to kind of speak to my deep need, that you would step into that place and meet us in those places? And then I also pray that you would empower us to minister to other people through your power, Jesus, and through the help of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.